I've got to say here that I find all the fictional depictions of Morton in movies and theater badly lacking, most particularly the hit musical of the 1990s called Jelly's Last Jam. Set to music based on his melodies, it's an exuberant celebration of Morton, loosely tracing his life story. But my complaint about Jelly's Last Jam is that it overlays a message of African-American racial identity that's critical of Morton's failure to embrace the black race. But Morton was a Creole, a unique blend of French, Spanish, and African-American culture and ethnicity. He was raised at the tail end of an era when so-called Creoles of color had a unique social standing nearly equal to whites in late 19th century Louisiana, though once he'd left New Orleans, no such social nuance followed him. But it's clear to me that the central drama of Morton's life as he perceived it was not race, but his struggle for recognition as a superior musical intellect and a self-proclaimed inventor of jazz. So sadly, for all its fun, Jelly's Last Jam substitutes its own agenda for the real source of conflict in Morton's life, that the world did not validate him during his lifetime as a major force in the history of music. Turtle Twist is a lovely performance. In a relaxed Morton trio from 1929, clarinetist Barney Bagard coaxes a nice warm glow from fairly simple melodic materials. And by the way, Bagard's main employer at this time was Duke Ellington, with whom he spent some 15 years. Thank you. Morton's Sweet Peter, an exciting trio performance featuring Tony Pringle playing cornet with Butch Thompson piano, and Turtle Twist was a Jelly Roll Morton trio of 1929 featuring Barney Bigard clarinet. Morton's well-known arrogance is legendary, and it's openly displayed during his Library of Congress recordings, including his poor opinion of most other musicians. However, he does single out a handful for praise, most notably Tony Jackson. Jackson was an exceptionally talented piano player and singer who could remember and play or sing any tune he'd ever heard even once. His repertory included ragtime, cakewalks, and blues, plus popular songs from all over the world and light operatic classics sung with his sweet, wide-ranging voice. He was very popular in Storyville and later Chicago. Clarence Williams called him original in all his improvisations. We all copied him. Sadly, Tony Jackson never recorded and was all but forgotten when Morton played a couple of his tunes for Alan Lomax in 1938. And subsequent research has yielded up a more complete picture of Jackson and at least a dozen of his original tunes. Today, he's best known for his hit song, Pretty Baby. Incidentally, Pretty Baby was also the title of a risque 1978 Oscar-nominated film set in a brothel at the end of the Storyville era in New Orleans. Starring Keith Carradine and the 12-year-old Brooke Shields, the character of house pianist is the closest, most historically accurate portrayal that I've seen of Morton in fiction. Interestingly, the lyrics for Pretty Baby were said to actually refer to Tony Jackson's male lover. After Pretty Baby, on the delightful Michigan Water Blues, Morton masterfully demonstrates Tony Jackson's rhythmic walking bass piano left hand that Jelly incorporated into his own style.
He'd know I was coming in when he hear me do that, see? And then sing it.
You can talk about your jelly rolls, but none of them compare. Pretty baby, oh my.
Water tastes like candy. I'm
Jelly Roll Morton recording for the Library of Congress, Pretty Baby, and Michigan Water Blues. You're hearing the last of four programs, The Saga of Jelly Roll Morton. I'm Dave Radlauer. Someday Sweetheart was a big early hit for Morton, though his exact contribution has been clouded by controversy with his associates, the Spikes Brothers of Los Angeles.
You told me that you'd love me true. I believed in you. You broke your vow, and now somehow it seems I'm always blue. But there'll come a day when you're far away. You'll sit alone and cry. For me you'll sigh. The days that have gone by. Someday, sweetheart, you may be sorry for what you've done to my poor heart. You may regret the vows you've broken, the things you did that made us drift apart. You're happy now and can't see how the weary blues will ever come to you. But as you sow, so shall you reap. What you reap will make you weep someday, sweetheart.
Someday Sweetheart, which is part of a group of what I think of as ballad-like Morton songs that includes Why and Sweet Substitute. And these are sweeter, more tender melodies, written as if intended for a mass market. And in fact, Someday Sweetheart did successfully cross over to white audiences in the mid-20s. These aren't Moon, June, Spoon lyrics, but something more poignant. And if you keep in mind that Morton was, at some point in his life, a procurer of prostitutes, Sweet Substitute takes on darker, stranger meanings.
Anything I tell her, 'cause love is blind. She's got such loving ways, ways, ways. She keeps my head in her days. My new recruit is mighty sweet and cute. because I'm crazy about my substitute. I don't want no regulars, crazy about my substitute.
Sweet Substitute, sung by Jelly Roll Morton, from one of his last sessions in January 1940, just a year and a half before his passing. And some especially fine trumpet there by Henry Red Allen. Jelly Roll Morton's late recordings, 1938, 39, and 40, show that even though his body was failing, he was still a potent force, a walking historical archive who could still swing with the best. And even as he was dying, we know that Morton envisioned and was working on new and even more advanced, adventurous, and expansive music. On a personal note, I must say that Morton is one of the more complex, difficult to explain musicians I've ever presented. It is possible to dislike the man, he was obnoxious and insufferable, and still love Morton's music. But then we've long accepted that many of our greatest artists have feet of clay, whether Beethoven, Picasso, Jackson Pollock, Ray Charles, or Charles Mingus. We've come to accept their artistic achievements separate from their messy personal lives. He was an obnoxious braggart and petty criminal. Being a sometimes pimp meant he was a sexual predator. I'm not trying to ignore or make light of these ugly details. Nonetheless, I've been trying to emphasize his notable accomplishments as an artist, his innovations, transition from ragtime to jazz, and hundreds of superb recordings firmly place his work among the greatest treasures of American music. If you're looking for a book on Morton, I think the best introduction is Jelly's Blues. Called Jelly's Blues, The Life, Music, and Redemption of Jelly Roll Morton is by Howard Reich and William Gaines, published in 2003. On the Jazz Rhythm website, you'll find these programs and links to some of the archival materials, text, photos, and resources I've mentioned at www.jazzhotbigstep, that's all one word, jazzhotbigstep.com. Jazz Rhythm is produced by Rhythm Productions, offering voiceover services and professional restoration of rare tapes and discs to digital. From 1939, here's Morton's best recording of his best-known tune, King Porter Stomp. Compared to his earlier versions, the improvisations take a more expansive and rhythmically varied path. It's looser, and it swings. That's the saga of Jelly Roll Morton on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Redlauer. Thanks for listening.